This will be part number two in this message about the life of Joseph. So we'll review really quickly, especially if you were not here with us this morning. But I started a series a couple Sunday mornings ago on the wonderful God of Christmas. And we talked about God's working in the lives of those who are involved in the Christmas story. And so we started out in this little series that we were doing on the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then, of course, John the Baptist, the son that was born to Elizabeth, who would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we went on last week to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who would be the virgin to give birth to the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary was the one that God was going to use to give birth to the Savior of the world. And we talked about how that God worked in her life. And then we moved on today, the wonderful God of Christmas. He had a Christmas story planned out, didn't he? And it was the story of his redeeming love. And he had some characters that he perfectly placed in this story to be used to do his will to bring the Savior of the world into this earth. And we talked this morning about Joseph and how God worked in the life of Joseph. And we told you this morning, just by way of review, how that Joseph can be a character in the Bible story, of a Christmas story at least, the Christmas narrative, that some can leave out. But oh, what an important Bible character Joseph is. And we learned much about Joseph today. And we wanted to share with you some truths about Joseph and the way that God worked in his life. And we started out this morning and said, number one, we talked to you about his character. The Bible refers to him in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 19, as a just man. And we said that that meant that Joseph desired to do the right thing. He was a man of character. He was a man of conviction. And he made a decision when it came to what he found out about Mary's pregnancy. He could have publicly humiliated her. He could have had her stoned, or at least, if not being stoned to death and put to death by stoning, he could have certainly humiliated her and caused her to be an outcast to her family and to the community around her. But we said, number two, about Joseph, not only was he a man of character, we also said he was a man of compassion. He desired to do the right thing, and he wanted to do it in the right way. He was a man of compassion. And so we said this of the life of Joseph, that he made a choice to privately separate from Mary instead of publicly humiliating Mary. And then we went on to talk about Joseph's courage. At the very moment that Joseph was contemplating what he was about to do with his wife, Mary, an angel came along, and an angel told Joseph in a dream that he gave instructions concerning the pregnancy of Mary, and the angel allowed Joseph to learn that it wasn't that Mary was unfaithful to him at all, but instead it was God's intervention, wasn't it? And God was going to allow Mary to give birth, the Holy Spirit was going to conceive, and she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And for the purpose of fulfilling prophecy, Joseph had a choice to make, though, didn't he? And Joseph, with a choice of courage and with a choice of faith, when he heard the angel, remember we told you this morning, he had nothing to go on but the Word of God. But that was enough. And he trusted God. And he accepted the instruction that the angel gave him to be used of God, to be the husband of Mary, and to be what would be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have a part in guiding Jesus in his early years in his earthly life. And we talked about how that his moment of courage and his moment of faith spoke to his integrity, and he was willing to let go of his reputation and his plan to work out the plan that God had for his life. And then we told you we would get to the last thought about the life of Joseph tonight. And so number four in these truths that we wanted to see you, we wanted you to see in the way that God worked in the life of Joseph, I wanted you to notice number four tonight. We want to see his compliance. His compliance. We have a lot of truths that we can learn, some truths that we can glean from the life of Joseph. And number four tonight, compliance. We saw his character, we saw his compassion, we saw his courage, but we want to finish this chapter, Matthew chapter number one, the final two verses, and we want to talk about Joseph's compliance. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number one. And by the way, in case you were not here this morning, we started up in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 1 today, and we talked about how that Joseph was told from the angel that Mary was to give birth. And the Bible says in verse number 24, then Joseph comes, he wakes up from his sleep. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 24 after he's had this angel visit him in a dream. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, notice this, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. A very important choice that Joseph makes in verse number 24. I want you to notice that word again. He did. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. The fourth truth that we want to understand about the life of Joseph and how God works in his life in the Christmas story, number four, his compliance. Now, did you notice when we read through verse number 24 that Joseph never hesitated, did he? Joseph never hesitated. He responded immediately to the instruction of the angel to take Mary to be his wife. Joseph responded with immediate obedience. It was an instant obedience. It was a complete obedience. And what we have to understand about the compliance of Joseph was that it was without question, it was without complaint, and it was without delay. You realize that's an application for our life, isn't it? When God has a task for us, when God desires to use us, it ought to be said in our life as a Christian that we instantly obey the Lord. We immediately obey Him. We completely obey Him, do everything He requires for us to do, and we need to do it without question. We need to do it without complaint, and we need to do it without delay. Joseph had no doubts. Joseph had no objections. Instead, he just believed. By the way, that goes back to the third truth that we said about his life, his courage. He believed, and then he obeyed. That reminds us of the fourth truth we said of Joseph's life. He complied. He believed. That shows us his courage. And he obeyed. It shows us his compliance. Joseph realized that to delay his obedience would have been disobedience. And that is true of obedience, isn't it? If we delay, then we really disobey, don't we? Sometimes you say, well, I did what I was told to do, but I didn't do it when I was told to do it. That's disobedience, isn't it? To delay is to disobey. And I believe that Joseph knew that. I believe that it was a conviction on his heart. He wanted to obey completely. He wanted to obey immediately. He wanted to obey instantly. He realized that if he delayed, he would be disobeying. But you know, another truth that Joseph realized, and we see it in Scripture, is that he realized that if he complained, he would also be disobeying. If we're complaining, we're not obeying the way that God desires for us to obey. Obedience is doing what we're told to do, when we're told to do it, and with a good attitude. I remember one time hearing Brother Tim Hicks say at camp, he would talk about obedience, and he'd say, obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told to do it, and with a smile on your face, he said. Doing it with the right attitude. If we delay in our obedience, we're disobeying. If we complain in our disobedience and we find fault with what God asks us to do, we're really not obeying. God desires for us to obey immediately without complaint, to have a good spirit about obedience when God asks us to do something. Can I say this about Joseph's life? And we're going to see this in some passages of Scripture here in the book of Matthew. Here's something that we have to understand about Joseph's compliance, and we would do well to learn from this. Joseph's obedience to God was a pattern in his life. Oh, that it would be said of us that we have a pattern of obedience. We have a pattern of obeying our Heavenly Father. Obedience was not out of Joseph's character. It was a pattern of his character. It was a pattern of his lifestyle. You say, well, how do you know that to be true? Well, we saw it in Matthew chapter number 1. But you have to remember what we talked about this morning. There's not really a whole lot of scripture passages that we even can go to talk about the life of Joseph. So how could we possibly say that obedience is a pattern in his life if we really don't even have a whole lot of illustrations to go to? Well, that's where we turn to Matthew chapter 2. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 2. We've read Matthew chapter number 1, where he was told of the angel to go and to take Mary to be his wife. And the Bible says in verse number 24, when he rose from that sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Well, can you look at Matthew chapter 2 and down to verse number 13? Matthew chapter 2, down to verse number 13, the wise men have come to the house where Joseph and Jesus and Mary are dwelling at the time in the city of Bethlehem. They've come to the place, they've worshiped the king, they've offered him those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But then the Bible tells us that King Herod desired to kill the baby Jesus, didn't he? So God speaks to Joseph again, doesn't he? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. So now here's the second dream that Joseph has. An angel appears to him in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now let's go back to what we talked about this morning. If you were not here, we talked about how that Joseph received instruction, guidance, wisdom, direction from the angel. Matter of fact, Joseph received it, we said this morning, right when he needed it. He was at a place in which he was going to make a choice to put Mary away as his wife. Do it in a quiet way, do it in a private way, but he was going to put her away because of what he had found out. The angel came right at the time when Joseph needed to hear instruction, when he needed to hear direction and guidance and wisdom. We talked about it this morning, how it's the same for you and I as we walk with the Lord today. He is there to give us guidance and direction and instruction and wisdom right when we need it. Well, Joseph receives guidance from the angel again, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 13. Joseph has a choice to make, but remember what we told you about his obedience. It was a pattern of his life. It was something that we could say of his character. He obeyed. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, two things I want you to notice about his obedience. He did it immediately, and he did it completely. He obeyed immediately. As soon as he arose, he took the child. He took the child's mother. He took Mary. And he went to the very place that the angel told him to go. So it wasn't just an immediate obedience, an instant obedience, but it was a complete obedience. Let's draw our attention back to what we said just a minute ago about his obedience to take Mary to be his wife. He obeyed without doubting. He obeyed without complaining. He obeyed without hesitating. He did exactly what the angel asked him to do. Matter of fact, when we read down in verse number 15, you'll know that there is a prophecy that's given there in verse number 15. And it's from the minor prophet of Hosea, Hosea chapter number 11, if you want to take the time to look at it later. Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 1, the prophecy that's given there, that out of Egypt have I called my son. Jesus didn't go to Egypt by accident, did he? God didn't have that plan for Joseph and Mary and Jesus by mistake. Isn't it important that Joseph obeyed the angel? Isn't it important that Joseph did exactly what the angel asked him to do? But hold on now, we told you that Joseph had a pattern of obedience. It wasn't just when he was told to take Mary to be his wife. It wasn't just when he was told to take his family and get down to Egypt. But if we would read on in Matthew chapter number 2, let's look down to verse number 19 if you would. After children have been, their lives have been taken. Remember, Herod wanted to destroy baby Jesus. He wanted to kill baby Jesus. He was not successful because Joseph obeyed. Joseph followed the direction of the angel. But then look at verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So now they're dwelling in Egypt. Herod has died. The angel comes to visit. Now, a third time, an angel has come to visit Joseph. What was the purpose? To give guidance, to give wisdom, to give instruction, to give direction. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 20, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Notice verse number 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, notice this, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now notice up in verse number 20, the angel says to him, arise and take the young child. Verse number 21, we're noticing a pattern, aren't we? What does verse 21 say? And he arose and he took the child. He had received instruction. He had received guidance. He had received direction. And he obeyed. What kind of obedience was it? He obeyed completely, didn't he? He obeyed immediately. It was an immediate obedience, an instant obedience, a complete obedience. I wanted you to notice it was an obedience without doubting. It was an obedience without complaining. Did you notice that Joseph had this as a pattern in his life? But here's something I really want you to grasp tonight, as we've seen the pattern of obedience, the compliance in the life of Joseph. I want you to understand that in this story that we are reading, we see the importance of obedience. The importance of obedience. It's great for us to acknowledge tonight that Joseph immediately obeyed and he completely obeyed. He did it in an instant way without doubting, without complaining. But we don't want to slide past the fact that obedience is important. It is so important. It is so extremely important for us to obey. You taught your little children that growing up, didn't you? You taught them, hey, if you're told something, it is so important. It is of utmost importance that you obey. You could get hurt. Something could happen to you if you don't obey the instructions that are given. Isn't that true of us as Christians as well? We need to immediately obey. We need to obey without complaining, without grumbling about what God asks us to do. But we need to get in our hearts and minds the importance of obedience. How important it is to obey. Here's what I want us to notice about the way that God directs Joseph. God, he's all powerful, isn't he? He's all powerful. He can do anything he wants to do. Here's what we notice about the visits that Joseph has with these angels. Just because God sends an angel to give a command doesn't mean he sends an angel to deliver. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the angels came to give instructions, but the angels did not make the choice of deliverance. Instead, Joseph had to make that choice on his own, didn't he? It could be true that God can give you instruction, but he lets you make the choice, doesn't he? You've got a will, don't you? You've got the ability to make a choice. And just because God sent, in this story, an angel to give a command, doesn't mean that he sent an angel to deliver. God could have miraculously rescued them. He could have transported them from one place to another. He had the power to do all of that, but he used Joseph, didn't he? He used a man who had a pattern of compliance. He had a pattern of obedience. Now, when you go through the story of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, you'll notice all the places that God led this family. As a matter of fact, we understand that they didn't have transportation like we had today, like we have today. And so picture in your mind the amount of mileage that Joseph and Mary, and even after the birth of Jesus, they put on their bodies because of all these different places that the angel had sent them to go. From even the very beginning, they were in Nazareth. And remember, in Luke chapter number 2, there's a taxing that's going to take place, right? So they have to go back to their home place. And so they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, that's for the purpose of fulfilling prophecy. But hold on, Joseph, he's willing to obey, isn't he? He does what he's supposed to do. He goes to his homeland, and he travels what probably would have been about 80 miles through rough terrain to get to the city of Bethlehem, where he is going to be taxed, where he has to come home to the place where he's from. And he goes over that 80-mile journey on rough terrain. Now, we in our minds maybe have heard before that, and the story we've heard before, that maybe perhaps they traveled on a donkey. Does the Bible say that to be true? No. So we don't know exactly how they went, but we do know it was an 80-mile journey through that rough terrain as she's about ready to give birth. Well, they make their way there, and there's no place for them to stay, at least at an inn, but they find that stable, don't they? Joseph traveling with Mary, and then in that stable giving birth to Jesus. And then the Bible tells us that they make a much shorter journey from the city of Bethlehem to the city of Jerusalem. Now, they do this on purpose because the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 2 that their desire is to present Jesus to the Lord in the temple. Remember, there are two special people they meet inside the temple. You know that story? Anna and Simeon, they meet inside the temple. They make that short journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. Just a 6-mile trip, not a very long trip at all, especially compared to the 80-mile journey that she made right before giving birth to Jesus. But then they travel back to Bethlehem. They're in Jerusalem. They travel back to Bethlehem, make another 6-mile trip to get back to Bethlehem. And then that's when they're in the house and the wise men come by as they're followed by that, as they're guided by that star, and they follow that star, and they come to the house, the place where now Joseph and Mary is dwelling with Jesus. But then the angel sends a message to Joseph, doesn't he? He says, now because the king is trying to do harm to these children, I need you to get up from where you're at here in Bethlehem, and I need you to travel to Egypt. That would have been over a 300-mile trip, 350 miles, perhaps even more, to travel to where they had to journey to get to Egypt. I would imagine that Joseph, as we talked about this morning, would have even perhaps had some questions. Why is all of this taking place? Why are we traveling around almost as if we're refugees in a strange land with a strange culture? And at the same time, I've got to care for Mary. I've got to make sure I give proper care to Jesus. I've got to provide them safety. I'm the leader here. You see how important it was for Joseph to obey? Then Joseph receives that last message from the angel, doesn't he? He says, I need you to get up from where you're at in Egypt. Now it's safe to go home. And in order to fulfill prophecy in this way as well, I'm going to have you travel back to Israel, and you're going to travel all the way back to Nazareth. A 400-mile trip. Can you imagine? Now, for us to say 400 miles, we'd say, well, we'd get in a vehicle, and that may take, you know, several hours to get to where we need to get for 400 miles. Perhaps some that are sitting in here, you could get there quicker than others. Hopefully you'd be safe about it. But you'd say, hey, 400 miles, you get in a vehicle, maybe perhaps 400 miles, you want to take even an airplane and get there real quick. Man, a speedy trip. But imagine these trips that Joseph and Mary and Jesus take. Think about the importance of obedience, and think about how that Joseph is providing leadership, and Joseph has to make sure that he protects his family. And the whole entire time, he is following God's leading, isn't he? And you know, here's some great truths that we have to remember when we follow God's leading. When we follow God's leading, we are absolutely certain that His presence is there with us. Wouldn't it be a comfort to Joseph to know that while I'm traveling with Mary, boy, I think about the responsibility I've got to make sure I care for them, to make sure I'm the leader that I need to be and protect them and follow every step of guidance the angels give me. I've got to make sure I'm careful to do exactly what God wants me to do, but I know that every step of the way His presence is there. Isn't that comforting to us? That no matter where God leads us, no matter what direction He gives us, no matter what instruction He gives us, He is there every step of the way. His presence is there for us. But then it wasn't just that he was following God's leading and God's presence was there, but also he was listening to the angel's direction. It wasn't just God's protection and presence, but it was also God's direction as well. Every step of the way he was guided. We talked about it this morning, and so I don't want to labor on it, but God is there to direct us, isn't he? He's there to direct us every step of the way. We quoted this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. God is there to give us direction, isn't he? His presence is there and his direction is there, step by step. And here's another thing that I want you to understand about these journeys that Joseph and Mary and Jesus are going on. It's all in God's perfect timing too, isn't it? God doesn't make a mistake. When He leads you, when He directs you, and He guides you, it's in His perfect timing. Step by step, He leads you. But hold on, let's go back to something we talked about this morning. Remember, this is part two now. It kind of finishes from what we left off with part one. This might not have been exactly what Joseph was expecting. It was perhaps different than his expectations, different than his plans, different than his thinking and perhaps even his desires when he was first engaged to Mary. Man, I didn't think necessarily maybe it was going to turn out quite like this. But God's plans may not be the same as our plans. God's plans were not perhaps exactly what Joseph thought his plans were. But can I finish that statement by saying this? He did not hesitate to obey, though. You know, when you say, my plans are a little different than the direction God is leading me, can I encourage you to make sure that you have no hesitation when it comes to obedience to God? God has an eternal plan, and His eternal plan is much more important than our earthly plan. Can we acknowledge that this evening? His eternal plan is much more important than your earthly one. Joseph might have had an earthly plan. Tonight, we might plan out steps of our life, but it doesn't mean it's God's eternal plan. And sometimes we need to get in line with His plan. You know, the Bible says, and we're going to read this really quickly, if you'd take the time to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I want you to look down at verse number 8. I know you're probably familiar with these verses. You've probably heard them before. But they help us to understand that God's eternal plan is much different than our earthly plan. Notice Isaiah 55 verse 8. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God understands in a much greater way than we do. His plan is what's most important for our lives. Let's get in step with His plan. Let's align our life with God's plan as He leads us. Joseph was a man. We've learned about his character today. We've learned about his compassion. We've learned about his courage. We've learned about his compliance. Joseph was a man who walked with God. Joseph was a man who listened to God. And Joseph was a man who obeyed God. Here's what we understand about the life of Joseph. He wasn't chosen to be used of God because he was a rich man. He wasn't chosen to be used of God because he was a smart man. He wasn't chosen to be used of God because he was a famous man. He was chosen to be used of God because he was an obedient man. And you know, the same applies to us tonight as Christians. It's not that we have to be rich, and praise the Lord for that, because I don't know that any of us would say tonight we're rich, right? It's not that we have to be smart. It's not that we have to be famous, but we do have to be obedient, don't we? We have to be compliant to what the Lord asks of us in our lives. Remember the passage we were talking about last week when we talked about how that God used Mary? God uses what the world might think are the foolish. Those that maybe are not so wise in the world standards. The base things. Just the normal things to do His will and to accomplish His purpose. Aren't you glad that God can use you tonight? You've got to be compliant, though. You've got to be obedient. Let's notice the way that God works in the life of Joseph. Can I draw your attention? We've come to a close of the thought here about Joseph. But can I remind you of one more thing that I think it would be so important for us to remember about the life of Joseph? Jesus was 100% human, wasn't he? While he was here on earth. Because he was 100% human, at the same time 100% God, Joseph, as his human father, I believe he had an impact socially and spiritually on the development of Jesus. You know, it reminds me, as a father, I think about how that he nurtured and he helped to raise Jesus, and it reminds me of the great example that Joseph left for those who are raising children. I'm thinking how important it is for me as a father to make sure I'm nurturing, raising my children the way that God would want us to lead our families. You know, perhaps children are outside of your house. You could still pray for them. Perhaps children, perhaps maybe there's somebody here tonight that would even say, I've got a child that's a little wayward. Just pray for them. Be the example as a parent that you need to be. I think Joseph sets some great examples for us, doesn't he? But I want to ask you those questions I asked you this morning as we draw our message to a close tonight. Perhaps you're a little bit like Joseph. And maybe the things that you're going through are not exactly the way you expected things to happen. Maybe the plan that God has for you is a little bit different than your plan. Maybe His desire for you is a little bit different than what yours is. Do you still have character through it all? Do you still have compassion? Or are we able to be like Joseph when others perhaps hurt us? Not to retaliate, but to give it over to the Lord, to respond the right way. Do you consider that when you go through maybe the moments that you might think are bad, moments when you've got some doubts and maybe perhaps when you have some disbelief and some despair, do you consider the fact that God may be in it all? I mean, think about Joseph, what he went through. And God was in it every step of the way, wasn't he? It wasn't exactly what Joseph expected. It wasn't quite what maybe he had planned or his desires. But God was in it all, and He works to fulfill His purpose, doesn't he? Hey, let's just trust Him. I said this morning, let's pray instead of panic. Let's learn to trust the Lord. And let's have a pattern of the character traits that we learned from Joseph as God worked in his life. Let's have character. Let's have compassion. Let's have courage. Let's have faith to do what God asked us to do and to be used of God the way He would have us to be used. And then let's comply. Let's obey. Let's do what He asked for us to do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And we're going to bring our service time to an end by allowing Miss Dawn to come tonight and play just a verse or two.